KJAN Sports.
Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in sports here on KJAN Sports. Is being brought to you by Insurance Services in Elkhorn.
Is insurance eating too much of your budget? Everybody seems to be watching their finances these days, and even if you're not, why spend more than what you need? Insurance Services in Elkhorn offers quality insurance products without sacrificing that hometown-friendly service. Stop by today for premium discounts from Farm Mutual Insurance, because not having insurance is like sitting on a time bomb. You never know when disaster is going to strike, so don't risk it. Insurance Services in Elkhorn offers protection against life's little surprises. The friendly staff is there to help you with all of your insurance needs. For an affordable program from Farm Mutual Insurance, see Insurance Services in Elkhorn. They have a policy of working together, and for them it's more than just a slogan, it's their business philosophy. By working together with customers, they can provide a balance of quality insurance as well as friendly service and competitive premiums. Stop by today for a quote with Farm Mutual Insurance for all of your needs. Insurance Services in Elkhorn.
And starting off, taking a look at some notes in high school sports, the John J. Harris Wrestling Tournament was condensed to a one-day event here now for today. Condensed that down due to the threat of impending weather and some teams that ended up dropping out due to the predicted weather conditions. So now it'll be a one-day event with weigh-ins starting at 11 o'clock today and action starting at noon. The final championship matches at the Activity Center there in Corning were scheduled to be held from 7:50 to 9:30 here tonight. So they did mention that they'll run ahead schedule when possible here today. So that's the full time frame there for that today. There are now 17 teams that are still committed to that event as of last night. And, of course, depending on their travel conditions here this morning to get there. Those teams now include ACGC, East Mills, Winterset, Atlantic, Cam, Griswold, Riverside, Bedford, Lenox, Missouri Valley, Shenandoah, Clarinda, Mount Air, Southwest Valley, Clarinda Academy, Nottoway Valley, Tri-Center, Creston, and Red Oak. Those are the teams that are still committed to attend there at that John J. Harris tournament in Corning here today. Once again, 11 o'clock weigh-ins, and action will get underway at noon. Also in high school sporting notes, of course, most other activities from last night were either moved up to Thursday or postponed or canceled. Yesterday, the Iowa High School Athletic Association did release the district basketball assignments for classes 1A and 2A. So these are the groupings that will occur for teams and give you an idea of potential matchups that could occur for those boys basketball teams in the postseason. And in Class 1A, District 12 has Bedford, Central Decatur, Clarinda Academy, Diagonal, East Union, Lamoni, Lenox, Mormon Trail, and Murray. District 13 is comprised of Ankeny Christian Academy, Cam, Coon Rapids Bayard, Earlham, Iowa Christian Academy, Martinsdale St. Mary's, Nottoway Valley, Orient Maxburg, and Southwest Valley. District 14 has East Mills, Essex, Fremont Mills, Griswold, Heartland Christian, Riverside, Sydney, St. Albert, and Stanton. And in District 15, AHSTW, Arweva, Audubon, Boyer Valley, Exira EHK, Logan Magnolia, West Harrison, West Monona, and Woodbine. And District 16 includes Glidden-Ralston, IKM Manning, Newell Fonda, Peyton-Churdan, Ridgeview, River Valley, Sioux Central, St. Mary's, and West Bend Mallard. Of course, those actual matchups then in the first round will be announced at a later time. In Class 2A, area teams where they have gotten put includes District 13, ACGC, Des Moines Christian, Mount Air, Panorama, West Central Valley, and Woodward Granger are grouped together. District 14 has Clarinda, Red Oak, Shenandoah, Trainer, Tri-Center, and Underwood. District 15 has Alta Aurelia, Esac County, Kemper Catholic, Missouri Valley, Maple Valley, and OABCIG. District 16 has Cherokee, Washington, Hinton, Rock Valley, Sheldon, West Sioux, and Western Christian. That's a look at some of your where your teams are put in those district assignments. The district assignments for classes 3A and 4A will be announced next Friday, the 25th, and then, of course, later on we'll know the actual pairings and the brackets for those postseason tournaments, not too far down the road. And other sporting notes here for you this morning. The UNI Drake women matched up last night at the McLeod Center in Cedar Falls, and Drake pulled away in the fourth quarter, picked up an 88-64 win. Drake started the game with an impressive fashion, built a 26-16 lead after the first quarter, but UNI outscored the Bulldogs in the second and third quarters, tied the game up at 49 with 4:18 to play in the third. but Drake responded with a 9-0 run and eventually took a 59-54 lead into the fourth quarter. The final frame was all Bulldogs. Drake went on a 20-5 run to start the quarter and never looked back in a route to that 24-point win. The 88-point total is the most UNI has given up since the 102-61 loss to Marquette earlier this year, and it's the only the third time this season the Panthers have given up more than 80 points. Three Panthers scored in double figures, led by Ellie Howell with 15. Sarah Ryan scored a game-high 26 points, and two other Bulldogs scored in double figures in that Missouri Valley Conference women's game last night. The Iowa State women will play today at home against Oklahoma. That's set for a noon tip-off. Iowa will be at Illinois tomorrow for a 2 o'clock game there on the women's side. The men's basketball schedule for the Big Four schools here this weekend. UNI is on the road at Valparaiso today. That'll be a 3 o'clock start. Iowa State is home at Hilton Coliseum to take on Oklahoma State. That's a 5 o'clock game this evening. And then on Sunday, Drake will face Missouri State at the Knapp Center at 3 o'clock. And Iowa's home at Carver Hawkeye to take on Illinois. That'll be a noon game. We'll have that starting with an 11 o'clock pregame for you on Sunday here on KJN. And some college football notes. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell announced that he has made some changes to his coaching staff, which includes a familiar name returning to Ames from the professional ranks. Tom Manning, who coordinated ISU's offense from 2016-17, will rejoin the Cyclone staff after 1 year with the Indianapolis Colts as their tight ends coach. Now he'll be back as the offensive coordinator for the Cyclones. Campbell also has added Matt Capone, who most recently directed the defensive backs at West Virginia, to work with the secondary. A college teammate of Campbell at Mount Union, Capone has been a full-time assistant with both the Mountaineers and Arizona previously. The addition of Manning and Capone are pending successful background checks. Nate Shielhouse, who was Iowa State's running backs coach last year, will shift over to wide receivers beginning this spring. He replaces Brian Gasser, whose contract was not renewed. Quarterbacks coach Joel Gordon has been promoted to passing game coordinator, and special teams coach Joe Houston will move to an off-the-field position. Spring practice for the Cyclones starts on March the 12th, and Manning back in the fold will rejuvenate that offensive coordinator position for Iowa State. They did not have anyone with that official title last year as Campbell and offensive staff worked together to call plays. In Iowa City, Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz recently talked about losing a record number of underclassmen to the NFL draft. Next season suddenly looks like a rebuilding one for an Iowa football team coming off a win in the Outback Bowl. Three juniors and one sophomore are headed to the draft, and combined with the graduating seniors, it's left the Hawkeyes alarmingly thin at defensive line and at tight end.
It's going to be tough to play without defensive linemen, so that's not an option. But offensively, you can play with three wideouts and a fullback and a running back. There are ways to bob and weave on that. But, we feel like we have some tight ends on the roster and be able to play well. So, yeah, you just have to look at every possibility.
And losing four players early in one season is unique, even though the program has had 40 players drafted in the last 11 years. Farron says it is following a national trend.
A year ago, we had a high number of guys declare for the NFL draft. We had two underclassmen declare. At least I thought that was a high number. That doubled this year, so we have four guys declaring. And it really, as I think everybody knows, it's a national trend. Somebody said the number's up to 132, or I guess finished at 132, for guys that are going to move on to the NFL. So it's just, I think, another trend in college football that we'll learn to adjust to and deal with.
Farron says while they may consider some transfers to fill some holes, there's no quick fix, and the key will be getting young players already on campus game ready earlier than expected. In other college basketball notes from yesterday, Anthony Cowan was Maryland's worst shooter on Friday, but he was also their top scorer. His 19th-ranked Terrapins improved to 7-1 in the Big Ten. He scored 20 points on 5 of 13 from the field to help the Terps knock off Ohio State 75-61. C.J. Massenburg ended a four-game slump by scoring 31 points and leading number 16 Buffalo to a 77-65 win over Eastern Michigan. And number 22 Villanova won their sixth in a row as Phil Booth scored 22 points and an 85-75 decision over Xavier. The University of Connecticut has announced self-imposed penalties, including the loss of a scholarship for the 2019-20 season due to violations of NCAA rules under former basketball coach Kevin Ollie. The school said it also will restrict its recruiting by limiting official and unofficial visits and cutting the number of recruiting days this year from 130 to 126. The school also plans to pay a $5,000 fine among penalties it hopes will avoid further sanctions from the NCAA. And in NFL news, Kansas City Chiefs safety Eric Berry is sounding confident that he'll be on the field for Sunday's AFC Championship game against New England at Arrowhead Stadium. Berry's been a full participant in practice this week after dealing with a bothersome heel. He needs the okay from Coach Andy Reid to take the field on Sunday night. The three-time All-Pro began to experience a mysterious heel injury during training camp and didn't play until Week 15 against the Chargers. He played more the following week in Seattle, but the injury reoccurred and he missed the regular season finale against Oakland and the divisional round matchup against Indianapolis. We'll have the Chiefs and the Patriots for you coming up in that AFC Championship game tomorrow. At a pregame scheduled at about 5:15, we have the Westwood One radio coverage for you. And, of course, start time will depend on the wrap-up of the NFC Championship that is being played prior. That's a look at the latest in sports here on KJAN. Sports brought to you this morning by Insurance Services in Elkhorn. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN Sports.